Very good. Good morning. I want to share with you a bit out of what Jesus said this morning in the gospel reading. Very, very powerful and pointed things that he said. But first I want to start just by checking a few things that at first will not seem at all related, but are in fact directly related. Do you remember, any of you, how many trees there were in the Garden of Eden that God mentioned? Two, exactly. Does anybody remember the name of those trees? Tree of Life is one of them. Tree of Life. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, exactly. And you may recall that God said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. If you do, you will surely die. That directly ties to what Jesus said this morning. I am the bread of life. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live. See, as you may recall, there was a curse that came from Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil had fruit, which when they ate, they died. In other words, they entered into sin, and they were expelled from the garden. Jesus, by saying, I am the bread of life, he who eats of this bread will never die, is reversing that curse. And all of his ministry, you might say, can be described as reversing the curse, restoring what God had intended in that garden. And that is where we need to go, responding to him, following him, following after him, going after the tree of life as opposed to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, now you notice that it says it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'd be much more comfortable with the tree of the knowledge of evil. Avoid that. Even then, it would be tempting, wouldn't it? Nonetheless, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where you eat of that, you die. So what's that about? And what is Jesus reversing when he does that? Well, when you are trying to provide for yourself what God would provide for you, you are eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because we would think that it's good as well as evil. What we think is good, there will be times will lead to death because we are providing for ourselves what God has already wanted to provide for us. And that's why it goes down that path. Taking from the tree of life is learning how to receive from God what he is providing for us. What that does is puts us on the path of life, and that path of life is a path of continually maturing, and you become the kind of Christian who can reproduce. And as you already know, I'm sure, is that you get to a certain age and you're able to physically reproduce. You need to be of a certain age of maturity to have children. Spiritually, you come to a certain level of maturity so that life can continue going on from you. It's reproduced from you. Now, I want to give you an example of how this happened. In our days in Pennsylvania, which, by the way, that was a lot of our days, quite a lot of our days in Pennsylvania, at St. Mary's Episcopal Church, one of the things that grew out of that ministry was a summer camp, which came out of our preschool, and the summer camp was something that Carol and a few others really ran with. Carol was spearheading it, and there were other, particularly mothers and staff of the preschool, that were beginning to form that summer camp. And the summer camp was for special needs kids, as well as, you know, when you get the special needs kids in, they call them typical kids. It's, you know, just a mix of that. And this summer camp ran for, I think, 7 weeks, from early in the morning till evening, like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., something like that. Is that correct, Carol?
I think it ran
9 weeks. The whole summer, right. Yeah, something. It seemed longer than that, but yes, that's right. Right. So, and then went on for a number of years. I want to say 5 years. I think it was about 5 years, those summers. What happened in those summers is that kids who were some very needy, they needed round-the-clock nurses with them all the time. And others were, you know, on the spectrum and so forth, but still, they were special needs, which means that they all had what you call IEPs, individual educational programs, and which had to be reported to the county. When they were in the school districts on their own, very few of them attained the goals of their IEPs, and sometimes had to come back, just shrink back. In the summer camp, every kid in those 9 weeks exceeded their IEP goals. And it was because of the mixing of the kids, the way that they went. They were living together. It wasn't just an educational program, you know, that long. They were absolutely living together. And that's really what came of it. And we felt that God opened that door. We felt that that was going along in, if you will, for our metaphor today, the tree of life. And that what happened was we made a, particularly Carol and some of the moms who had special needs kids and the preschool staff who had special needs kids in their families, made a environment of life by paying attention to the Spirit of God, seeing what was going on with these kids, finding out what doors were open, where God was already at work to provide resources. At the fifth year, we had 5 school districts giving money into that camp because of the IEPs. And they liked the fruit that was born of it. So we went, if you will, with the tree of life and saw what God wanted to do. Had we gone in the beginning, which some were telling us, gone with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what would have come to us would have been this. You know, that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to do that. You can't mix kids like that anyway. Plus, look at how long that is. 9 weeks for that long of a day? 5 weeks? You can't do that. There's no resources. But the resources were from the tree of life. Had we eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good, in this case, good sense, if that knowledge of good and evil, we would have surely died. But we did not. And we went through. That's one example of how this works. It's one example as well of how when you pursue that tree of life and you go on that path and you are listening to the Spirit of God and wanting to follow on that and receive what He is giving you instead of trying to do it on your own so that He might bless it, what happens is you mature. You grow spiritually. And as you grow spiritually, you're able to bear fruit spiritually. And as you bear fruit spiritually, that fruit reproduces, which is another sign of maturity. And as we've been looking at over the past few weeks with various dynamics, that's one of the dynamics of how churches grow. There is a spiritual maturity in which fruit is able to be born, and that fruit has its own seeds in it and then is able to reproduce itself as well. Think about that. Let that roll around. Or let me throw in one other idea, and then I'm going to unpack just a little bit what Jesus said. I will occasionally hear something from different people in different churches or, you know, wherever. This is sometimes a common thing that is said in a church. They'll tell me, I'm going to be done with my responsibilities here in the church at such and such a time or at the end of the time, and I'm telling you so that you can find a replacement. What do I know when that happens? Well, I'm certainly fine for people to do that. You can get burnout and so forth. But when that choice is consistently made, that the priest find the replacement, that's a church that's dying. Because there's not the spiritual maturity to reproduce. Now, that doesn't work all the time. It doesn't fit in every situation. And some things, people just have to step out. And sometimes a program or something has to stop, has to die. It's really not fitting any longer. And that's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just describing a dynamic. When the only means of finding people to take responsibility for something is to have the priest find the replacement, that church is on a path of dying. Any living organism that is not reproducing is dying. Any living organism that is reproducing is having life multiply. That's why churches grow that way. Another way of looking at it is this: a body, which the church is also a body will grow from the skeleton out. So if your skeleton, you know, if you drink your milk and eat your Wonder Bread and so forth, if your skeleton is growing, then your body is growing. And your body doesn't grow, at least in a healthy manner, by adding things from the outside onto it. It's from the inside up. Now, this is very challenging. It's very challenging for me. This whole idea, what I've just told you, you know, that the priest, if the priest is to find the replacement and that's the only way it happens, the church is on the way to die, which I believe is true, that's very challenging for me because I'm a very quiet, reserved, introverted individual. And, I'm uncomfortable with people knowing how I do things so that they can do it also and find out how that is. That's very uncomfortable for me. But it's less comfortable than dying. No, what I'm going to say. It's more comfortable than dying. Dying is less comfortable than that. I would rather be drained out and uncomfortable with you knowing what's going on with me, how I pray, how I witness, how I overcome, how I do this, how I do that. I'd rather have go through what it takes for me to share that with you than to just peter out and fade away. That's very challenging. This is very challenging. I'm telling you, I'm drained out just thinking about it right now. That's the way that it is. But that's what Jesus desires for us to do. So what does that take? He who eats of this bread shall not die, is what Jesus says. The implication is this. You will grow spiritually mature. You'll increase in your maturity as you learn how to receive from Jesus on your own. As you gain the ability and skill to pray your own prayers and to say what it is for you to be a Christian on your own for who you are, for you to care for others because Jesus prompted you to do it, to even know that Jesus has prompted you. When you are doing that for yourself, you are growing in maturity. Now, that's going to be a struggle. That's going to be uphill. That's going to be difficult because the path of that is to take up your cross daily. That's not just your irritations. Anybody gets that. Your cross is dying to yourself daily. And as you do that, you're receiving from Jesus on your own and able to contribute with the body of others who are doing that same on their own. So that body, that fellowship, comes to a level of maturity where the body is reproducing, the individuals are reproducing, the people who have responsibilities often are able to have someone or maybe several people who have been receiving from them to take their spot. We're working yourself out of a job, not just giving up your position, but working yourself out of a job is the mark of what goes on in that fellowship or in your life. You've worked yourself out of a job because there are other people ready to follow after you and do what you've done and maybe even take it further because of what you've invested in them. I believe that's what it means when Jesus says, "He who eats of this bread shall surely not die." One very important part of that, extremely important, is the idea of investment. And where you direct your investments, as some of you know very well financially, has to do with the return. And I think what Jesus is saying is if you invest into another person, there will be a tremendous return, which is different than you investing into an organization, an organizational plan. If you invest into an organizational plan, you'll burn out and you'll step aside and you'll go to the leader and say, "I need you to replace me." But if you invest into a person or several people, there'll be more of you that's exposed and shared, but the multiplication of the fruit will keep going on and on and on. That's how churches grow. That's what it is to be able to come to Jesus and receive directly from Him. Like our baptismal service says to the godparents. The godparents make that promise. We looked at that a little bit last week. Will you, by your prayers and witness, do all you can to have this child grow into the full stature of Christ? So it's on the godparents. By the way you pray, when this child sees you pray, will that child be able to grow into the full stature of Christ? When this child sees how you live your life, your witness, will that child be able to grow into the full stature of Christ? That's just the baseline. That's where we begin. That's our first commitment. And it would be to live in that manner, to do that sort of thing. The purpose, you see, of our lives then is to cooperate with Jesus so that we grow into His full stature. Your purpose is to grow into His full stature. That sometimes is at odds with a purpose of, "I will contribute wherever I can." Please keep doing that, but that would not be your primary purpose. Your primary purpose would be to grow into the full stature of Christ. And we need each other for that. We encourage each other for that. And we do what it takes ourselves to grow into that. Now, there's a few challenges here, as I've mentioned this morning, and I've shared with you a bit what's challenging for me. And I'm sure some of this is challenging for you. So the question is, in that challenge, what's God telling you? What is God shining His light on? If there's something that's particularly challenging for you, or you want to push back and say, "Whoa, wait a minute, no, I don't think so." What's God telling you in that? That response that comes up, there's something about the Spirit of God motivating that. What is it for you that He may be bringing up? And then as that goes on, perhaps it's something about the way you pray. And He may be challenging you to pray in such a way that you hear directly from Him. Or maybe something about the way you witness, the quality of your life. where you reflect how Jesus is? Is there something about that for you personally to do so that it reflects the way that he is? And as we looked at last week, is there something about forgiveness? Or is there something about giving or whatever it may be that he wants you to do? I want to deeply encourage you to do that, to know what God is telling you this morning and take the steps that come from that, because that is how you receive the bread of life. And you shall not die when that happens. Even if you're crucified on the way, you will be raised to what he has prepared. Let's stand before the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for drawing us to yourself in this manner. We ask that we would have your ability, grace, and power to be fruitful and to multiply and to eat of the tree of life. For the glory of your name. Amen.